I've been put on the planet to share this unique point of view. I have a unique set of experiences from how I was raised, the businesses I've worked in, the ups and downs of life that have given me something unique to share with the world. And if I don't share that, they miss out. I'm Johnny Page.
I'm Matt Verle.
And this is the South County Podcast.
I had this realization the other day. I was thinking about growing a company in the early stage, and I had always had this belief in my first company that everyone really cared about our company and the way that our brand was positioned in the market. And I had this realization that nobody cared about any of that. And the only thing that they cared about, there's two things that our customers cared about. It was their problem,
price,
and how much it hurts, not the price. Not the price if you do a good job on these other two.
Yeah.
Right? So they care about their problems and how painful they are, and they care about our ability to solve it. And the reality is, if you're not Apple or some other company with an equivalent brand presence like that, your brand as an organization isn't going to give them the confidence that you can solve anything, but your brand as a person will do it. And the fact that we were in the market as humans talking about how we solved problems and what we believed, that was the only thing that gave them the confidence. And so, like, fast forward to 2024, and this was springboarded by, you know, I was chatting with Dan, and he said, someone asked him, should I start a SaaS company or start a media company? And he said, I laughed and told them both, right? Because I don't believe in 2024, you can be a founder of a company who is selling a point of view for a living, because that's your job if you're a founder, without being a content creator. So I think they come together. And that's what I want to talk about today, because, like, we're on this journey ourselves, man.
Dude, I love it. I think it's well-timed. It's kind of interesting, as if founding a company wasn't challenging enough.
Yeah.
You got to add this additional skill set. But the founders who do it well, they have this, it's a competitive advantage. And it becomes something. I was just talking with a marketing team the other day, and I said, look, paid ads, you can spin up, you can get a new competitor overnight, but you cannot on earned media, on attention, and in a organic audience, that is very difficult to turn on overnight. Impossible to turn on overnight.
Yeah, for sure. Look, like, Facebook ads and paid media, like, they work well, but they worked better a couple of years ago. Like, why do you think there's such a focus now on earned versus paid? Like, why is it better? Or do you think it's better nowadays to be heavier on the earned side than it was 5 years ago?
Well, I just think as, like, platforms become more crowded, it is more about the relationship and the emotional attachment that you have to the people who you're following.
Yeah.
So you used to be able to run a creative ad and get a conversion in a pretty short period of time. And I think now that there's more and more fight for attention, our skepticism continues to go up, and the threshold and the need for trust and for that bond to be there before a transaction happens has never been higher. So difficult and expensive to do that through paid exclusively. You can supplement it with paid. I don't think paid marketing goes out the window, but to miss out on creating content and earning that audience and building the relationship from a founder's point of view, from a person, and even just, you know, I think there's some companies that do this really, really well, where they even enroll their team. They've got, like, their team is creating content, and it just gives the company personality in a way that you can't really do if you're not producing content.
Yeah, I'll tell you, man, like, and I even experienced this with our first company, and this was like 2018 timeframe, that we tried to stand up paid ads as our very first, you know, true scalable channel. And it was super expensive for us. And we ended up doubling down into partners for like a year. And, you know, with a partner strategy comes content and comes branding and comes, like, getting our faces out in the marketplace. And then it was like 18 months later, we did paid ads again. And it was insanely more profitable and insanely more scalable. Like, the unit economics were so much better simply because people knew who we were. And so I don't know, like, I'm the spreadsheet nerd. I don't know the attribution to, like, track it. I don't really care. All I know is that it worked 10x as effective as it was once we had a human being presence in the market versus when we tried to do it as strangers. And it's even tougher now, man, than it was then.
Yeah. Are there any founders or creators that inspired you? I mean, this is not a new concept. I think it's becoming more and more mission critical that founders do this. But, man, there have been some OGs in the game. I know that certainly inspired me early on. Is there anyone that, like, you, as you were building Uplaunch and the first versions of your SaaS product, that inspired you, that was creating content and winning in this way?
Yeah, 100%, man. So the very first podcast on earth that I ever listened to was Smart Passive Income by Pat Flynn.
Yeah,
you know, dude, the game, doing
so
his thing.
Good.
Yeah, SPI, man. And so it was interesting because, so I listened to Pat, and then that clued me into like that ecosystem of creators, like the Amy Porterfields and the other people who are in the game at that stage. And most of them are still around, still crushing, which is super cool. And then I ended up taking an Facebook ads course from Rick Mulready, who was part of that group too. And like Rick did this mastermind in San Diego. Jake and I, my co-founder, we flew out there. Like Amy came and spoke, Pat came and spoke about like email list segmentation. I still have the notes, shocker, in a notebook, like upstairs somewhere gathering dust. But it was like, that was so many firsts for me, man. So it was like the first time I was able to meet those creators. It was the first time I had really invested in learning these skills about marketing, and like went to an in-person meetup to learn everything and taking all the notes and implement all the stuff. It was crazy cool. James Wedmore and his wife Chelsea were another, they were both there. That was that group of creators in that time frame that first inspired me, because they were able to just explain the stuff in ways that I could understand. Now, I went and implemented it, and we implemented it well from a technical standpoint, but the part that I was missing is like what we started out talking about, where I didn't have enough of a presence to like build the authority I needed for people to take the ads seriously at that point. We were super early in our journey, but that's who inspired me to get started. And then it was funny because 2 years later, when we went back after we struck the partners and after we had a solid brand presence, all of the stuff that they taught for the most part still applied, right? Because I mean, the best lessons you learn are rooted in fundamentals. The platform might change, but the outcomes you're chasing are the same. And so a lot of the stuff I learned from them was still the springboard a couple of years later when we got back in the game.
There's this interesting, I think a good frame if you're trying to think through what would I create is, and Pat did this incredibly well, was just building in public.
Yeah.
It's like, just tell the story about what your mission is, share the vision of the company, share the ups and the downs along the way of creating that. And there's something that endears you to the company when you follow that story that is, I don't know, it's very hard to match in any other medium.
You remember the monthly income statements he used to put out?
Yes, dude. That
I don't know if he still does or not, but yeah, that's like ultra building in public.
Yeah, I think at some point it starts to work against you when you're publishing those statements to your clients, realize how much you're making on them. But yeah, that was super inspiring. There's this incredible podcast called The Startup Podcast, which was, I think it was Alex Bloomberg. He used to be a podcast host of Planet Money.
Oh, and then went to go start the company.
Went to go start Gimlet Media, and literally had the wherewithal to record all of the journey of starting the company, of like telling his wife he's going to leave his full-time gig and, you know, going and getting investors for the first time, finding a co-founder. So really great examples of building in public, but also the founder sharing their point of view on the vision, like what's the problem they're solving and what is their point of view on how it gets solved. And man, we've had dozens of clients stick around. What we're going to do is, those are some of the OGs that inspired us. But at the end of this episode, we're going to go through and talk about some of the founders today that are not the who's who. There's the Gary V's and the Dan Martells of the world that are doing this at an incredible scale and level. But I want to give you a list of some founders that we're inspired by right now that are doing it at a little bit earlier stage, that they're picking up the phone, not as much production, but they're making a great impact on their industry. They're sharing great content, some people who you can get inspired by. But Matt, I think we should talk about, you and I are on this journey right now. And there's a lot that if you're listening to this and you're like, oh yeah, Johnny and Matt, it's a great concept, but that's not me. Or this scares you. Like, I don't know, man, the first time that I thought about producing content and building a personal brand, I was like, dude, that's just not for me. I'm not interested. I like building the business more. So as many of you listening, they probably think I'd rather code. I'd rather just work in the business. That content creation stuff's not for me. I don't want to be an influencer. And I think that would be a miss. So Matt, when you first heard it, what came up for you? This is a journey you and I are both on individually now, and one that we've seen many of our peers and clients go through as well. What do you think comes up what are the demons you got to wrestle with?
So I think what I know now that I didn't know then, it's supposed to be scary. And it's fascinating because you have people who have quit jobs cashed in pensions, put second mortgages on their houses, hired people whose family that they're supporting and putting food in their team members' kids' mouths. And they're like, it's scary to talk to a camera. Like, yo, that is the number 72 on the scary list. If you prioritize it by like magnitude of scariness, right? It's just for some reason, it's just inside that like we're not wired to do this, at least for me. And then I sat down and realized it. I'm like, I've done so much scarier shit than this that it actually doesn't matter. And I'm just like building it up in my head. Like it's uncomfortable. But being uncomfortable is different than being scared. It's not actually scary once you wrap your head around it. It's just uncomfortable because it's new. Yeah. It's going to feel like putting your right shoe on your left foot for a minute. Okay. And so yeah, I just lean into it. I'm uncomfortable all the time. Every time I'm in front of a camera, I'm not that comfortable. And I just decided that I don't care anymore. So I don't know, dude. It's not easy. I guess whenever I arrive as being a content creator, it might look easy. That's cool. But I just wrestled with it for a long time where I believed it was scary. And then I really sat down and thought about like, what does something being scary actually mean? And to me, if something is scary, it's like there are massive downside consequences if I don't do a good job at this. Like mm-hmm. The worst thing that happens if you shoot a bad video on the internet, like someone might say, haha, you have
to see the algorithm like, takes care of it for you. No yeah, one, right? Will see like,
no one's going to die. You're going to be okay. Yeah. Right. So I don't know, man. I really had to like put a logical hat on, take off the emotional one, put a logical one on and be like, this actually isn't that scary. There's very little downside to being a mediocre content creator. So I'm just going to start out knowing that that's what I'll be. And I'm going to work on getting better over time. And this was a long journey for me, dude, because this was an annual goal for me to start creating content and putting it out into the world in 2020, in 2021, in 2022, in 2023. And I made precisely zero material progress for all four of those years. And it wasn't until when did we start doing this together? November, roughly, mm-hmm. October, November, 2023. So the past 4 or 5 months that I actually started to make progress. And so I don't know, man, there was some kind of demon in there that was just like crippling me from taking action. But I don't know, dude, it's a choice. Like everything, I just decided to do it. If it's embarrassing or I look stupid or I mess up or I don't do a good job or I waste some money, like, okay.
Yeah.
You're right. So yeah. That's what it was for me. I just had to decide. What about you?
Yeah. I think there were a couple of core beliefs that I was missing prior to leaning into the process of creating and sharing that now that I have, they're the why that keeps pulling me into iterating. And one of those was, I just didn't think that I had that much to share. Like mm-hmm. I was like in the circles that I'm in, what I'm doing is relatively normal and I'm also benchmarking against the best of the best. And so I personally think about and see the things that I'm not doing a lot more frequently than the things that I'm doing well. And this is also one of the benefits of having picking up the camera. It's like the filter. There's this great book. I think it's called Show Your Work. It's a great book. It just talks about the process of asking yourself, why am I doing what I'm doing? And showing the process of doing it day in and day out. And that there's something very captivating and relatable about you doing just the normal work. And so a year ago now, it was actually about a year that Dan really pushed me. He had many times before said, hey man, you need to shoot some video. I'd love for the world to hear more about what you're doing, what you've learned, what you're working on. And I finally, when he gave me that prompt, finally took action and I've been picking up the phone and just, it started off by just like, I called it car rides with Johnny.
I remember, jump
in the car, put the phone up and I would just shoot a couple of short stories on Instagram. And I just get comfortable. Like, I don't know what to say sometimes, but if I practiced it enough, if I made the commitment to every day I was going to pick up the phone, I started to realize I'd be doing something and I'd say, hey, why am I doing this? What is this important to my daily, you know, success and productivity? And I started to find that I had a lot more to share with people. And then I got some great feedback of like, hey man, like I really appreciate it. Like one of the things I do, I take a picture of me walking out of the gym every time I walk out of the gym. And I had someone recently just say, hey man, I appreciate your discipline. Like it's inspiring to me. Like after I saw 10, I saw 50, I saw 100 of you videos you posted. I'm like, man, with all that you have, you're committed to, it's really encouraging to me that you are that disciplined. And so I think for me, one of the beliefs was that I had something to share and I just got to go find it. And part of that has built a a muscle of reflecting more frequently, asking myself why. And I've doubled down on some great habits and I've gotten rid of some bad ones as a result of asking that question.
There's one frame that's really, really helped me. And the way that I think about creating content is that I'm shooting content to help Matt from 2 years ago figure out what to
do. Yeah.
Right. And like, I feel like, and I think this is true of most people who are on the entrepreneurial journey, like we always say, being an entrepreneur is the craziest, toughest personal development regimen you can have. Right. And so any entrepreneur, you're not the same person that you were 2 years ago. At least I hope you're not. Right. And so that frame of me trying to figure out how to become who I am today, that's the frame that I think is, man, if I can just create what I needed 2 years ago, then from that frame, I have plenty to share. And the reality is that all of the positive change in my life from 2 years ago to now has been built on the back of having positive habits that are done every single day or as close to every single day as I can, right? Like the habits drive the results. And so that's why the document, don't create principle is so important, where if we're just documenting the success habits that drive the results that we've achieved to help who we were 2 years ago figure out how the hell we did it. If you do that and nothing else, you have so much to share. And it's like not even hard because you're doing all the stuff that you now think is normal because you normalized it. But 2 years ago, it was completely abnormal, right? There was a time, I'm sure, when you didn't go to the gym 7 days a week, like freaking clockwork. But I know from being close to you that there's a couple of things I can bet on every single day. The sun's going to come up. It's going to be warm in California. And Johnny's going to be walking out of the Planet Fitness around the time I'm eating lunch on the East Coast, talking about whatever workout he did today. Like it's clockwork. But that's not normal. It's just normal to you, but it's not normal to everyone, right? If you just keep that frame, it's no longer hard.
I'll tell you one other belief, man, that has really helped me lean into this is I think a lot of founders underestimate the gift they have to give the world through the point of view they have on the problem that they solve. Like there's no way you leave the company that you're at, you go start the product that you've started, if you don't have this like deep desire, not only for the success that it would bring, but of solving that problem. You felt the pain and you're like, you know what? Enough is enough. I'm going to be the guy that goes and solves this problem.
Yeah.
And if you would just share that point of view with more people, you would definitely sell more software. You would definitely attract more great team members, but you would further the vision that you had when you started that business. Your point of view would be shared with the world on, you know, how this problem can be solved. And that's a gift that the world's missing out on when you just have some janky website with a pricing page and a sign up now, and you're not getting it out there. Like, man, the world needs to hear what you have. And I think that a belief around, I've been put on the planet to share this unique point of view. I have a unique set of experiences from how I was raised, the businesses I've worked in, the ups and downs of life that have given me something unique to share with the world. And if I don't share that, they miss out. And there's, it's like going from, hey, I'm building a personal brand for me. I'm trying to build audience and intention for me. And it flips it to an energy around, why do I figure out a way to deliver content that's more engaging so that the message lands, so it gets through to the person. Like, I don't really care about creating video. I don't nerd out on the like the creative process itself. Like, I'm not a video guy by default. I'm not a copywriter, but I get pulled into those things because I really want to help the person on the other end, right? It's about you, the viewer, the listener. Like Matt and I are going to wrestle for 100 plus episodes on this podcast because we don't believe that founders should work alone, that they should be unsupported. We don't believe that a SaaS product should fail. So like we're going to work tirelessly to figure out a way to get this podcast to be the best podcast it can possibly be for you. And I think that you, the founder, has that person. You have a target audience that if you woke up every day and said, my mission is to like solve that problem, and you got past the fear of creating, you would reach more people and your marketing is going to serve more people than your product ever will. Yeah. And certainly the brand will be built in the process. But man, that like focus on the who I'm solving, the who I'm doing this for, dude, many, many times, like I don't want to pick up the camera and shoot most of the time, but I do it because there's just someone out there that's going to miss out if I don't get over this hesitancy and fear and disbelief that it's going to make an impact.
Yeah, I'll tell you something else. As a founder, if you're not yet convinced, here's one other data point to consider. Everything Johnny said is true. Also, your point of view will evolve and improve the more you socialize it to other people. So totally. The point of view that you think you have about your market, about your product, about how you're going to help people, if you don't tell it to anyone, it's never going to be right. It's never going to be good. It doesn't become a thing until it passes the pressure test of getting through 1,000 people and having them, you know, poke holes in it and tell you why they think it's stupid and why it's not going to work. And the more you put that point of view out into the world, you'll get back what other people think of it and how it lands and how it resonates. And that's what will evolve to drive your product strategy and your hiring plan and the people you got to surround yourself with. Like, totally. If you don't put your vision out into the world, nobody can help you create it because you're just hoarding it to yourself. You're just keeping it quiet, right? So like, if you're going to build something, you're obligated to put it out into the world because it only matters if it comes back intact. That's the reality. Like, that's the only thing that matters.
Yeah, you can save a lot of dollars by publishing that point of view and have it get beat up a little bit and refined and,
Yeah, so, you know what's more expensive than like starting a podcast and pressure testing your point of view? Building the whole SaaS platform and realizing you did it wrong.
Yeah, 100%, man. All right. You and I did a little research through our feeds and pulled together some founders that are inspiring us today that are doing this right now. So if you want to get some inspiration, I think it's nice to have people. Now, look, I also follow the who's who, right? The top creators. I also like following those that are a few steps ahead of me. There's, you know, there's like where I'm at today. There's the people who haven't started yet at all. And then the people who have got like massive media teams that are producing tons of content. There's the Mr. Beast of the world. I want to highlight a few people who are doing this right now. And I think doing it really, really well. If you got a list, I got a list. We did not compare these ahead of time. I'm curious if you got any like mutual ones or if we've, our feeds are a little different. Why don't you kick us off with who's a founder inspiring you right now, creating some content, sharing their point of view with the world?
Yeah. And look, we'll put all these links in the show notes. But so the first one, I'm going to talk about a different Dan, who's actually been a friend of mine for many years. His company, PushPress, is a billing platform for gyms. And actually, we became friends when I was running UpLaunch because we were a marketing platform for gyms. So we partnered together and we even shared a house in like Vegas in 1 year and did like a mutual company retreat, which is super awesome. But Dan's been doubling down hard and all of his content is around just helping gym owners be better and run better businesses and make more money and help more people in their community. And it's all about being in service of his target market. And his software is great, but his point of view is better. So I love him. He's just a regular founder having some really, really solid success growing a beautiful company. And over the past year, I think he's really found his voice.
I'm going next. So it's funny because Dan's a SaaS Academy alumni, right? We went through SaaS Academy at the same time. I also have another alumni SaaS Academy that is on my list. Chris Ronzio, he's a founder of Trainual. Yep. He wrote the book, The Business Playbook. He's got a podcast. He shares regularly on LinkedIn and man, just a great follow overall. In terms of a founder who's out there, he's really, you know, he's in a pretty competitive space. You think about, I think the differentiation between what Trainual does and many other products, I believe, is Chris. He's got his brother as well, works in the business, but the two of them share a ton on social media and have shared the process of building the company. Man, just a great follow. Someone who I think it's a real example of it being a competitive advantage for them. Like, man, their paid media definitely accelerated by their creativity and their ability to create content. So great follow, Chris Ronzio. Again, we'll drop it in the show notes. Who you got next?
And you'll see Chris mentioned in our book too. I actually interviewed him for a story about the book because the way that they scaled Trainual in the early days off of some of their video work was just, it was bonkers. They're just him and John. Well,
CAC payback, they were literally able to finance their growth through 0% interest credit cards because their CAC payback was so low. Yeah,
so
awesome
good.
Stuff.
So next on my list, Alex is a current client. Alex Duda is his name. He's the CEO at Albiware. He's in our boardroom program. And I love Alex. He's like 26, I think. He came from like the restoration industry, founded a software to serve that industry. That's where his expertise was. Now he's CEOing that. He's got a coaching program stood up to help people in his industry get better results in their own businesses. Just had a book came out, Restoration Millionaire. Alex is just, I mean, I don't know what I was doing at 26, but it wasn't everything he's doing. And so he's also started to lean in really hard on the content game and especially on LinkedIn. He's just in there consistently, just putting in the reps, talking to his people, recording the content, getting his point of views out into the world. And I don't know, man. I think if I look at, yes, you can admiring of results, but if I'm going to be admiring of the behaviors that I know will lead to the results, like if anyone is just getting started on this path, Alex should be an instant follow because he's got the same tools you do and he's just out there crushing the consistency every single day. Like the dude is going to be big. You can mark my words. So
yeah, Alex, yeah, it's pretty impressive, man. He's moving at a clip that is, it's super impressive. My next one on the list is Kyle Racky. He's a CEO and founder of Proposify. He's got a great podcast. He's written a book, shares regularly about both his point of view and the process of building the company. So go check him out, Kyle Racky. Who is your last one on the list?
Dev Basu, CEO of Powered by Search, one of the best marketing firms, agencies that exist. Also a near and dear friend that I've known for years. His LinkedIn game in particular is super strong. So I know we've talked a lot about video and a lot about Instagram. I have a deep passion for writing. I love the written word. So I couldn't get through this little hit list without, you know, switching over to LinkedIn, and just someone who's crushing it on the written content side is Dev. Also his blog on the Powered by Search site is just lights out. Probably one of the best company driven blogs that I've seen in recent history. It's so damn good. It's like, it should be illegal. I don't know. Dev is just a wizard, man. So
not your average blog. My last one, I hope I say her last name correctly. Danielle Morrill. Mm-hmm. She's a multi-time founder, great follow on Twitter. In fact, she fits both categories. Someone who's like still publishing great content today, but man, she was someone who in my, you know, the early days of SilverTrack was, man, she was absolutely fire on Twitter, just sharing the process of like using social media to hire great engineers and great talent to do market research and get feedback. Like just a great example of using the earned audience and online presence to build the business, and went on to go sell the company and is now a coach and a investor and continues to share her experiences in SaaS. So Matt, I feel like if you're not excited about creating some content after listening to this podcast, and we didn't do a good job, I'd love to say, hey, if you shoot your first video as a result of this conversation,
yes,
please tag us in it. Also, if you want to find two other pretty cool guys that are building their personal brands and their social media following, you should check out my friend Matt Verlach. Not Verlach you, Matt Verlach. Spell it, search, Google it. We'll put a link in the show notes so you can find him.
Oh, so kind.
He's got a great newsletter. He's producing some awesome content. If you're a COO, you got to be following him. And yeah, go give me a follow on Instagram and on LinkedIn, and you can see what both of us are up to. We're in the middle of this process right now, so maybe one day this will be the episode that we call back to and we're like, yeah, Hey, remember when we first got started? You can see what it looked like when Johnny and Matt shot that episode. So
I want to fire a question at you before we leave this episode, though, because I'm in the shoes of our audience right now. And let's say they're a founder and they're like, I believe you. I'm in. I want to do this. If you had that person in front of you and they said to you, Johnny, what is the one thing that I should go do right now? Like, what is my one imperfect action to go take today? What is it? Is it an Instagram story? What do you say to that person? Because I just want to leave this episode. We talked a lot about the why you should be doing it. But if someone, because this is me, if someone just wants someone else to tell them what to do, like, what's the one thing you go do?
I'll just tell you, like, I found the thing that had the least amount of friction. I already had an Instagram account. I already opened that app multiple times a day, probably more than I should have. And so I was like, you know what? Here's what I'm going to do it. Is that where the majority of my audience is at? Probably not. Are there better platforms? Is there a different, more, you know, I don't know, logical place to start? Probably. But like, I just knew the biggest thing that I needed to conquer was picking up the phone and shooting something. And so that was my first 90 days. It was like, to do the action that will lead to more action. And so I think you should find whatever that is for you. For some people it is, maybe you got a book in you. You've been thinking about writing a book for a while and you just got to go and dedicate the time to go put the book out there as a point of view. I think a lot of it has to do with like, man, you should go where your energy goes. You should go what excites you. Like part of why I share more on Instagram than I share on other platforms is like, I just like it more. I like the mix of like parenting and of fitness and of business. Like it's a nice little mix for me, but you should just go where your energy's at. And I think engineer for the long haul. I mean, like part of why I have this, like I'm going where my energy and the creativity is at, is that I'm also committed to doing this for 10 years. Like it is going to come. There is going to come a time organically, I'll be like, you know what? It's time for me to be in LinkedIn a little bit more intentionally, and I'm going to do it. The energy is going to be there. The creativity is, the desire, et cetera. So I'd say, if you're my friend and I'm trying to get you to start, just find where you're already at every day. The least friction, just pick it up and start to build the muscle of sharing, and then let the next right next step will appear when you take that first action.
100%. And for me, especially if you're an analytical type person listening to this or watching this, you decouple your behaviors from the results for the time being, which is very weird from the way that we do most things in business.
The only time you'll ever hear us say that.
Yeah, right. And like, literally, the result is the behavior in this case, because the biggest thing stopping you is you and the fear or the uncertainty or the limiting beliefs or whatever it is. So exactly what Johnny just said, just pick the phone up or pick the keyboard up or whatever it is, and just like put something out. Give yourself permission to suck. Give yourself permission to not get a single view, because those first videos or articles or whatever the medium is, you're not making them yet for anybody else. You're making them for you, just to get them out of your brain and into the world. And it doesn't matter what they do. And that's a reframe, because we're always, as founders, we're like, I need results. I want to get this following. I want to do this. Like, just mess around for a month and then set a goal, right? But like, your goal could be a behavioral goal. It might not be, I need to get this 100%. Many followers in 30 days. It might be, I need to produce this many videos in 30 days. Can I commit to myself and just follow through on what I said I would do to me, independent of the outcome, before I worry about how to engineer the outcome? Because I can tell you, as someone who is a novice at this, going through it right now, is that there was no way, there was no article, there was no course, there was no blog that would teach me about all the stuff I've learned from doing. I'm like 14 YouTube videos in right now. And the first five or six were like the same. Then we started changing some stuff. And like, okay, so the early ones got like 80 people watching them. Cool. That's probably the 80 people I emailed it to. The last one we did, we changed a bunch of stuff, got 300. I'm not Mr. Beast, but it's 300 more than 80. And it, but like, it, I didn't care at first. I just like, let me go make some videos and just like see what's up. So just, I don't know, go see what's up. Go play, have some fun with it, you know, get through the fear, and the rest of it, figure it out later. That's what I think.
I love it, man. I love it. Tag us in your first video. Can't wait to see it.
Let's do it. See everybody.